That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Young F.A. Holmes. These niggas so scary, won't let them bury me. That's why I keep my 30, I shoot like Curry. And boy, I'm getting money, I'm getting money.
All right, welcome back to Dumb V Fridays. This is a special early signing day slash national signing day slash Christmas holidays episode. We got Drift in the building. Drift back in the building. How you living, Chief?
Feel good, man. After an exciting day of recruiting, we finally have our 23 class. So I'm chilling, man. I had fun today watching the recruits come in, and we got a lot to talk about. I've been excited for this episode. So might as well just jump right in.
Yeah, this is one of those. This is definitely one of those days. And National Signing Day slash Early Signing Day is normally a boring day for most Virginia Tech fans because normally we get flipped. Normally we limp to the finish on these days. We get flipped on, or like we have like a very anticlimactic day. But no, we had a little something to be excited about. So this is definitely a different National Signing Day. It's got a different tone and tenor to it. We're going to get into all your National Signing Day needs. But first, we're going to show love to the patrons. The people keeping the lights on. The people keeping the lights on around here. Frank. Shout out to Frank, man. Shout out to Frank. Legend. Joe Rogers, our guy, legend. Shout out to Jake, legend. Shout out to Nathan, legend. Shout out to Angie, legend. Shout out to our guy, man, Brittany Hill. Triumph. Shout out to Triumph, man. Legend. Shout out to Susan. Shout out to Matthew. Shout out to Elaine, legend. Shout out to Jerry at Cougar Trainee, legend. Shout out to Cam Cobb, legend. Shout out to Amir. Shout out to Dan, legend. Shout out to Beth Barnes, legend. Shout out to Lonnie. Shout out to Adam. Shout out to Brian. Shout out to Nola. Shout out to Mitch, legend. Shout out to Avery. Shout out to Tom, legend. Shout out to Andrew, legend. Shout out to Treadmill Horse. Shout out to Corey. Shout out to Dittler, our guy, legend. Shout out to Luke. Shout out to Ty. Shout out to Greg, legend. Shout out to Brandon, legend. Shout out to Alex, legend. Shout out to Daniel. Shout out to Nathan. Shout out to Two Quickski. Shout out to Josh Young, legend. Shout out to Paul, legend. Shout out to Ben, our guy, legend. Shout out to Nick, our guy, legend. Shout out to Marquise, Andrew, our guys. Shout out to Valerie, legend. Shout out to Jack. Shout out to Mary Andrew. Shout out to Kobe. Shout out to John. Don V Friday's patrons, sign up. Become part of the squad. DM me, DM Drift for details. Join the team, man. Join the winning team. It is today is early signing day, but if you follow recruiting like we do, today was pretty much National Signing Day. The one that's in February now is like an afterthought. All the big moving and shaking happens at early signing day. And honestly, we at a point where like if a guy is waiting for National Signing Day, like the real one or the original one, then he's super on. A lot of people are pretty much in there by now. At this point. So Virginia Tech, as we sit here, I believe we have the 36 class. If I'm not mistaken, yes,
36 overall class, 35th composite rank, and then in terms of transfers, we're 17.
The 36th class, the 35th according to the composite, and we and honestly, before we get into who's who, and you know, we cover most of these guys as they committed during the year, but there were some that just committed recently and flipped recently. Yep. But I think for Pratt's first year, as far as, and we covered this ad nauseum, like trying to fix Virginia recruiting, and he was, you know, working the phones and working the high school scene, and he stuck to his word. He kept everything within that 6-hour radius. As far as the high schools are concerned, everything is Tennessee, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina. He did in Pennsylvania. He didn't really venture too crazy. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, plucking kids from wherever. Like, we don't want to make it seem like they better all be from Virginia. No, our problem with the last staff was, you know, completely like moving off of the state of Virginia, the Commonwealth, and going to Texas and Arkansas and Missouri and wherever to get whoever. It wasn't even to get elite talent. Like, that was our issue. But Pride has kept it within the footprint. And honestly, before we get into the players, there's some talent in here, man. Like, I don't normally just be lying and shit. Like, it's some real talent in this class. Is it a class full of people that's going to be impact players next year? No, I don't think so. Maybe the transfers, yes, but the high school players, no. So I want to give Fontel Mans, I want to give him his flowers, man.
Oh, yeah.
We were heavy in that 804. We was heavy in the 804 this cycle, even in the transfers. So I want to put some respect on Fontel Mann's name. Virginia Tech getting in a class in the mid-30s in Pratt's first real cycle. I'll take it. Mind you, nobody thinks this is like the peak. Like, we don't think – like, Fuente recruited well at first, but – it was kind of downhill from there. Like, I feel like we're 36 and this is the floor. I think we're going up from here. So,
oh, I do too.
What's your thoughts on the overall class before we get into the signees and transfers and things? But what's your thoughts overall on early signing day?
I like it a lot. You know, just like what you were saying, there are some talented players in here. That's something we haven't really seen in recent classes. I think, you know, like you said, I don't think any of these, like, I don't think a lot of these guys are going to come in and, you know, start right away or contribute right away. But there are some guys that can play their freshman year. I think more so than we had in last year's class. So I'm excited for this class. I think it's a big foundational class in terms of, you know, getting recruiting back up in the state of Virginia and building those relationships back up. I think this class really sets us in a good direction moving forward. And I'm just really excited to see how this staff can, you know, take this class and bounce it into 2024, which I think is where we're going to really get some of our studs and so forth after that. So I was critical on the staff early on in terms of the recruiting. And even I think in the last time we recorded an episode, I wasn't really sold on the class too much, especially in the transfers. I said, you know, we're going to have to nail our transfers down because we really don't have the talent. And they came out and they flipped Antonio Cotman, Aiden Green. Well, Aiden Green decommitted from Cincinnati after Fickell left. They got Chance Fitzgerald, Pop Watson. And then in the transfers, they killed it, getting Drones and Allie Jennings. And I didn't think that there was a shot at getting Drones and Allie Jennings, honestly. I thought maybe Jennings. I really didn't think Drones was going to be in play. So hats off to the staff, man. They absolutely crushed these last couple weeks. Also, the way that they did National Signing Day today, doing like the draft style, the presentation, having each recruit on there individually, giving them their time, like, it was just it was really nice to see. So really really exciting times as a Virginia Tech fan.
Yeah, definitely definitely a great time to be a Virginia Tech fan. You know, we we talk about building blocks and foundation. That's been a word that's been thrown around for the last year, you know, building blocks, foundation, you know, y'all gonna be the ones that, and I think I said it in the space I did last week. We didn't pod last week. I did a space where I was talking about drones and Jennings and all that. And let me be the first one to say, this class, this 2023 cycle, might not see any game of importance in their 3 to 4 years at Tech. They might not see, they might not get to taste the ACC championship. I'm going to be all the way real. We're going to talk real. Hey, go look somewhere else for the Disney World takes. This crop might not play for anything of relevance while at Tech as far as playoffs, ACC title, you know, things of that nature. But maybe if they stay, you know, 5 years, some of them that's going to be here for 5 years, they might be able to taste some, you know, playing for actual relevance. But this is going to be this, I ain't going to lie, this class is going to go through some shit. Like, last year's class, obviously, the 22s, they saw a three-win season as true freshmen. I think it goes up from there, but this team is going to have to do all the heavy lifting. They're going to be the ones with the machetes hacking through the forest and paving the roads. And then by the time we get to like 2028, they're going to see the built up product, and they're going to be able to taste the fruits of this class's labor. So this class, hey, bro, y'all about to go through some shit. I ain't gonna hold y'all. I ain't gonna be the one to lie to y'all. But I do like that. I think we both said it when Antonio Cotman picked Boston College, and somebody can pull the tapes, whatever. We both said that's a flip. We said hold the phone on that one. Don't trip on that one. We'll be back. And all we had to do was let the games be played. And don't get me wrong, we was a 3-win team, but once we started getting some real momentum on the trail, I knew we were spending a block on that. Being able to get Chance Fitzgerald, a kid that I think you reported, he had P5s on him. Like, this isn't just, you know, oh, 3-star, whatever. That was different. Being able to pull him.
Yeah, I had two of my friends that are huge Michigan fans and like definitely know what's going on. They both texted me before Chance Fitzgerald committed to Tech, and they're like, "Hey, congrats! He's one of our targets. Like, really good pickup for Tech. We were going after him." And so,
right, and Michigan got to discriminate now when they come to talent. Like, they don't just take any damn body.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. They go after. And the thing is when Michigan goes after a 3-star player, it's like the cream of the crop of 3-stars. Like, it's like a guy who's rising that's like should be a 4, probably not, like because of how long he's been in the cycle for. So that was big for Michigan to be on him and for us to get him instead. So props to the staff, props to Mines, props to Sean Quinn, who has been in Tennessee putting in work. We got
Sean Quinn has been on the road.
I really want somebody to go through and like see how many schools he's visited this year, because it's got to be in like the hundreds.
Bro, Sean Quinn don't sleep. Sean Quinn can't sleep. Sean Quinn be on the road. Mind you, like when you driving from Blacksburg to like Northern Virginia, when you going up into like the DC metro area from Blacksburg, that's like 5 hours. Like, four and a half, 5 hours. Ain't no, bruh. Shout out to Sean Quinn, bruh.
he's at schools at like 7 in the morning, and then he'll be in like another county at a different school by like 10:30. And then by the end of the day, he's in another state. And it's like, how the fuck did he do it? I mean, the amount of miles he probably put on his car this year.
Man.
Outstanding work by
Sean. I know he got a gas card. I think that go without saying that he got a gas card. Shout out to Sean Quinn. And also shout out to Sean Quinn for not doing the Galen Scott, because listen to me. If I had the gas card, and they had me up in the DMV area, Northern Virginia. Oh, I'd be sniping. I would be a DC. I would be a DC sniper. You hear me? Shit. They'd be like, damn, bro, you going back to DC? Yeah. I got no recruit. Be up there sniping like a motherfucker. Shout out to Sean Quinn, man. Being able to go to DMV in Tennessee and not snipe and get the job done on the recruiting front. Shout out to Fontel Mines, man. Fontel been working, bro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think Fontel a lot of people are kind of crediting him for Varner, and obviously he got Jennings, and the wide receivers that he pulled in this class were some of the best players in this class. He put together some shit. I'm excited to see what he does in the future, because if he locks up the 804, man, so much talent rolls through there, he will be such a pipeline.
Yeah, the 804 definitely got the juice. So is that, and we was heavy in the 804. And I saw what Fontel was ranked with the ACC's eighth best recruiter. So that lets you know. Imagine you, the ACC, you got Clemson, you got Miami, you got Florida State. Like, Clemson, Miami, and Florida State all did very well recruiting this year. So for Fontel to be ranked amongst, you know, their position coaches and their assistants, and, you know, we ain't quite throwing around some of the money that some of them programs can throw around. We know Miami was throwing money around. So,
oh, for sure. Yeah.
So shout out to Fontel for being ranked amongst the top ACC assistants. As far as in recruiting, he deserves it. And there was a lot to be desired on the field as far as what the wide receivers did. But, I mean, Fontel could say, look, man, I ain't know them motherfuckers, man. I ain't got nothing to do with that. That ain't me. That ain't my work, son. That ain't got shit to do with me. Y'all know what they was. But Fontel got some toys. He got some toys this year to work with. Starting with Allie Jennings. I mean, that was a pickup, and he's an 804 kid too. So
would you say that Allie Jennings was the best pickup of the cycle? The best signing?
Out of the transfers, yes. Because for the on the field and the off the field, because that's the kid we probably should have got. He should have never even had to go to West Virginia, right, and ODU and all of that. So I think the on the field and the off the field, yes. But I said it when we got him, and I'm gonna say it again, and this is a name in our recruits that a lot of people probably, he's not the headliner. You might not see this kid play for 4 years, but I'm saying it, bro. I'm stamping it. Tavarion Copeland from Appomattox, Virginia. He's skinny as hell. He's like 195 pounds. He's like a DN / linebacker. He's like baby Kelly Lawson.
Yeah.
Maybe even faster than Kelly.
He's quick.
Give me 3 years. Give me 3 years. That give him Pride and Marv gonna do something with that kid, bro.
Yeah, I think
Pride and Marv gonna work magic with that kid, bro. That's my favorite recruit in this whole cycle. Tavarion Copeland, Appomattox, Virginia. You're not gonna see him for a couple. They gotta put some bricks in his pockets. So I'm not even tripping on, oh, he got to come save us next year. It's not going to happen. He will not play next year. I can almost guarantee that shit. And that's they move him to wide out or some shit. But that's my favorite high school pickup in this class. Who is your favorite high school recruit in this class?
Probably Aiden Green, man, just because of the speed and the quickness. Like, at wide receiver, I don't think we've seen a receiver with his speed and quickness come through in a long time, a really long time. So I want to see him, like, I want to see the bombs deep. I want to get him on deep crossers. Like, I think he's somebody that can show us another gear of the offense that we just really haven't seen in a long, long time. He's a little small. I mean, he's only like 170 right now, but I mean, that's fine. Get him into the college training program. He'll be good to at least hit the field and be fine. But you can't teach speed. You know, when you got somebody that can burn like that, and is tall too, because he's like 6'1". Just a great combination. So I'm excited for him. He was like, he was basically Cincinnati's biggest pickup in their class when Luke Fickell was there, and he was a huge deal for them. So I think he's going to be a player for sure. But yeah, I'm excited for Pop Watson too. I thought it was cool to pick up a quarterback outside of Whitaker. I know he's a little small, a little short, but he's pretty versatile. So, you know, keep those.
Yeah, Pop Watson. I was looking at his film today, and he's going to bring a dimension. And he might not play next year or the year after that, but when he does eventually play, even if he's serving in a backup role, he's going to be something that the defense got to account for as far as him being able to run the ball, him being able to make plays outside of the pocket. He might not be a kid that we're going to ask him to throw 30, 40 times a game. I don't even think that's in his game. But he's going to bring a different dimension. He might be even better served as you bring him in, red zone stuff. You know, anytime you need a spark, you can bring in Pop and get plays. And then maybe he can play some slot receiver or something. I think he has that kind of ability. So shout out to Pop Watson for coming in out of Massachusetts. It's a lot of talent in his class.
Oh man, and like Popman too, his size, being 6'2", 200 as an outside corner is exactly what you need nowadays. It's no longer like the 5'11 corners rule the world. Like, if you're a 6'2 boundary corner, that is like, that's Jalen Ramsey. That's their size. You have to be that.
Anton Exum, big corners.
Those big corners can dominate, man. So, I mean, there's so much in this class. I think a lot of these guys might not stay the full 4 years, you know, with the way that the transfer market is nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
We got some pieces, man. We got some big time pieces.
We got some definite pieces. Now, I did the space last week, and I talked about Kyren Drones, transfer from Baylor. And I said that now, this spring, we have a real QB competition. So let's say Grant Wells wins the quarterback competition. I know that Grant Wells will be better than he was last year if he beats out Drones for the starting job. So
much more.
So if Drones don't win the quarterback competition this spring, it's not the end of the world. That means that Grant has improved, and Grant has, you know, he got a fire lit up under him now, and he knows shit ain't sweet. So
the other good thing
I think Drones can play though. I've been
doing
my research on Drones, and he was a 4-star, you know, coming out of high school, and a 4-star transfer according to 247. So
yeah, without really even playing, like to keep your 4-star without really playing is pretty impressive. I think the other good thing about it too is like if Grant Wells has a bad game, you know, I think it'd be a much quicker turnaround, you know, to just throw Drones in there. Whereas last year it was like, okay, the staff knew, everybody knew that, you know, Jason Brown was not even close to what we could get with Wells. So Drones is going to be right there. We're going to have a much better quarterback room going into next year. I think six scholarship quarterbacks. That's a big
one. Much better quarterback room. And like you said, like, I don't think whoever wins the starting job is going to have the quick hook, but there's going to be a hook. It ain't going to be like last year. Now, I voiced this concern last week, and I'll voice it again for Don V Friday's listeners. Offensive and defensive line, I'm still not seeing the talent coming in on those lines. Obviously, they got kids that's going to play offensive and defensive. Because I don't want to get that shit confused, because people think, okay, you're landing offensive line commits and defensive line commits. Like, oh, we're just – no. Because we kind of need people that can play right now, like on the lines, on both lines. Yes. It's kind of dire at this point. And if this team is going to continue to get whooped in the trenches, it don't matter who's playing quarterback. It don't matter who's playing wide receiver. It don't matter who's playing corner. Teams gonna get their ass kicked, and this there's gonna be another wave of transfer portal. Obviously, this was the first wave. These are the guys that, you know, the higher ranked guys. There's gonna be another wave of transfer guys in the spring. The guys that don't like where they at on their depth charts. So maybe there's gonna be more offensive and defensive line players to be had. But like I just said, it's going to be guys that's probably not happy with their depth chart situation at their own school. That don't mean they can't play here, but it mean they couldn't play there. So,
yeah. I mean, Varner on the defensive line, that's a solid pickup. I think we need one or two more on the defensive line. The thing is, too, is we had a lot of defensive line recruits in last year's class. The staff's probably just trying to keep around to see if some of those guys can, like, you know, come out and like do something. So I think that's why we haven't seen as big of a push in terms of D line guys. But on the offensive line, Leif, I don't know if he can play year one, but what we have right now for the offensive line is not good. We don't have any transfers. I think Price said today in the press conference he's looking for at least one offensive line transfer. I would rather have three, but we'll see. So I agree. I think the offensive line is still of concern. Some people have pointed out that J.C. Price is looking a little spooky on the recruiting trail because he missed on Hughes. And I think there was one other DN that we couldn't secure. But to be determined. I think you really can't get rid of J.C. Price. You can't, because he's the assistant head coach. So you just got to hope that it gets better next year and the offensive line gets better too. Because, I mean, those are supposed to be two of our top coaches.
Yeah, J.C. Price and Joe Rudolph, they're not in trouble, but they're under investigation. They are under investigation. Donfee Fridays has J.C. Price and Joe Rudolph under investigation. Now, Cheetah did his goddamn job on the field. More so on the field, and Fontel did his job off the field. So there's your DB room, and I mean, there's your DB coach, and there's your wide receiver coach making their bacon in different ways. Offensive line coach, defensive line coach, you're on the probationary period. We're watching you. We are watching you. So our guy, Monty Chapman, the 757 Hokie, he went to UNC. I saw the edit today. Shout out to Monty Chapman. He's a solid corner. He's a solid corner, and God knows UNC lost a fuck ton. So shout out to our guy, man. He should be that. I don't see a scenario where he's not playing unless he's hurt. So shout out to Monty Chapman. Yeah,
it's a shame we don't play UNC next year, but.
Right, because he'll probably head top his ass.
Yeah. So,
I think I heard this on Tech Sideline. I might have been tripping, but Caleb Smith chose Notre Dame, or am I tripping?
Yeah, Caleb Smith committed Notre Dame.
Shout out to Caleb Smith, man. We rooting for you. We wish you the best. I don't know how cold it gets up there, but
it gets cold.
Shit. Yeah.
It gets cold.
I mean, if you play at Tech, Tech gets cold. Like, I ain't gonna hold.
Yeah, but not like South Bend cold.
I ain't gonna hold that mountain. I've been in Southwest Virginia, like in the mountains, when it gets cold. I'm not used to cold weather. I mean, I'm used to like somewhat mild, but like, nah, bro, Blacksburg get cold. I ain't gonna hold that mountain. There gets cold as hell. So, I don't know if it's consistently as cold as Indiana, though.
Well, South Bend has a high of 5 degrees on Friday.
I don't know. They might got it. Hey, Caleb, God bless you. Have fun with that.
Yeah. Also, just shout out, Caleb. I tweeted this out, but like, what a life accomplishment to go from an undrafted, I mean, not undrafted, but fucking a walk-on player, and then play at Notre Dame. That's huge. And like he'll probably have the opportunity to get a degree there too, or at least take classes, whatever. And that's huge. The Notre Dame Alumni Network is massive. So That was probably a life move for him as well. And so,
oh yeah,
shout out to him.
Oh yeah, and I'm pretty sure there's some NIL opportunities for him. I'm pretty sure he's getting a bag from somewhere. So,
oh yeah, oh yeah.
Hey man, listen, Caleb Smith, whether I was a fan or not, and I ain't gonna sit up here and be like, oh, I was a big no. I made my stances clear. Like, I don't gotta like everybody, bro. Like, that's the thing about being a fan. You don't gotta like all everybody, bro. You can say okay, whatever, but I can still recognize and say he was our best player on the offense and on the team at times last year too. And all of my criticisms of Caleb Smith never had anything to do with him as a person. He seemed like a good guy. Come from a good family, all that. Just wasn't my cup of tea as far as receivers. And that's okay. Whatever, you know. But I want him to go kill it at Notre Dame. Like, I'm not a hater or nothing like that. That's lame shit. So shout out to him. Right. And shout out to Armani Chapman for going to UNC. Yeah, go kill it.
I wasn't even thinking either of them honestly would have ended up Power Five. Good for them.
Yeah, go kill it.
DJ Harvey ended up at San Jose State.
Yeah, DJ Harvey chose San Jose State. We rooting for you. And DJ Harvey's case, he has talent. I wouldn't even be surprised if San Jose State, not his last stop, he goes back, bounces back to P5 in a year or two. And he could find his way out of Oregon or some shit. So that's the thing about this transfer portal, man. You can play your cards right and do what you got to do. And next thing you know, boom.
Yep.
You're right back.
Look at the way Drones played his cards, right? I mean, he comes to Virginia Tech. We had basically the worst offense in Power Five. But now with our transfers coming in, getting Jennings, getting Daquan Felton, we might have a pretty good offense now. All of a sudden. So he flipped that around. Now he's got a potential starting role and can showcase his talents. So if you work it right, man, if you coordinate with the right players and the right coaches, you can flip around a program and end up in a good situation. So shout out to staff for using and selling playing time and balling out, man. It's big time.
Yeah, that definitely some big time moves. So we shine a spotlight on some of our, you know, favorite recruits. We shine our light on the transfers. We shine our light on some of the Hokies that's moved on, and you know, God bless them. We obviously, if we play you, we want to beat you. Like, we're gonna keep it all the way real, but did you see where Coach Fuente? No, forget about that. So Pat Narduzzi, Pitt head coach. He made a comment, and he said he knows that two schools contacted UNC quarterback Drake May and offered him $5 million. Now, he not going to say who, because he pretty much already in a draft snitched. You might as well say a name. If you're going to snitch, go all the way.
Right.
We know tampering is in college football, and we know Pat Narduzzi got a dog in that race, because people keep saying, like, what the fuck they got to do with him? Pat Narduzzi, it was the first victim of NIL tampering. Like, let's call it what it was. USC pretty much knew that. I mean, Jordan Addison was a Pitt player. USC Trojans basically came at him with the bag and said, come on over. He was the Biletnikoff winner for Pitt, and USC basically stole him. And now he's blowing the whistle on Drake May, Drake May didn't leave UNC.
Yeah. Drake May even said he's not going to leave.
He even said he's not going to leave. These motherfuckers be capping, but you know, he might be telling the truth. But I guess the question is Pat Narduzzi, is he ratting? Is that ratting, or is he just doing his good duty as a coach?
I think he's just blowing smoke. I think the reason that these coaches don't rat, like don't full on come out and say, hey, it's like it's NC State or whoever. Like the reason they don't do that is because they do it too. I think everybody does it to some sort of extent, right? So if one person, you know, calls somebody out, it's just gonna be like a ripple effect of too much bullshit that nobody wants to deal with. So I don't think Narduzzi wants to deal with it either, but I think he's kind of sick of it as well. So it's like this catch 22 where coaches don't want to say who it is because they don't want to start the fire, but they also are so sick and tired of it that they want to say something. So they just mention it. So I definitely think it's true. And I think the sad thing is it's probably happening absolutely everywhere with tons of different players. And really it's going to change the way college football is played. Cause you're going to see players like Jordan Addison, you know, in other places just leave after great seasons, and it's just going to be for money and nothing else. So, I think it's a real thing. If you're going to snitch, I think you go all the way. I think eventually there's going to be a coach that comes along, and it might be Deion, who just blows it all up. You know, as soon as it happens, just starts name dropping the schools, the money, you know, drops the receipts, the conversations. Like, I think that will come eventually. And there might be some more like regulation around NIL and the way that you can tamper. So we'll see. But I think it's just a fuck scenario right now. And it's just like, this is what we get because of that. So
let me just say, Pat Narduzzi is ratting. He's the person with Phil Dracovic hit the portal. And the dude was a Pitt Panther within 2 days. Like, Pat Narduzzi, man, shut your ass up. You don't get the rat just because you're a victim. Like, listen, you play this game just like everybody else play this game. You can't speak on what other team tampering and all this shit. You had Keaton Slovis from USC. I'm pretty sure he didn't go to Pitt for free. So, yeah, man, take your lumps, man. Stop bitching. That's all I got to say to you, bro. Like, yeah, tampering's going to happen. I mean, tamper back. You in Pittsburgh. Like, you tamper back, man. I'm crying about this shit.
I mean, they did pretty well in terms of transfers. So,
yeah.
They're doing the same thing. They're doing absolutely the same thing.
Just tamper back. Why the fuck you complaining on Drake May's behalf? Like, Drake May is fine. I'm pretty sure Carolina matched. Or they gave him something, he got a raise. Drake May's fine. Carolina didn't lose him. Everybody's okay. So why are you crying about it?
Yeah, they got that quarterback from Penn State, Christian, however you say his fucking last name. Most of you guys probably know who I'm talking about. And then they got Donovan McMillan, who I know a lot of Hokie fans wanted coming out of high school. We wanted him too. They got him as well.
Yes, a two-time Hokies target.
Yeah, exactly. He was like a real target. I mean, a lot of people thought we were gonna get him from Florida. Oh, ends up at Pitt. So they got the bag too. They're throwing that.
Right. So basically, stop crying. You'll be all right. Like I said, I was talking about Flint earlier. Him doing radio, for the Sun Bowl. I know Pitt is playing against. I forget who from. I want to say UCLA, but it'll be interesting to see
how he does.
Well, obviously he's doing a radio broadcast, but it's gonna be interesting to hear. I think Fuente trying to get back in the game, man. Fuente doing what he got to do to get back in the game. You cannot stay away from the game and get a job, not a job in the P5 or G5.
Oh yeah.
So I think Fuente doing what he got to do to get his name out there, get his face out there. Some of his former friends or current friends or, you know, staff members, you know, Barry Odom's the head coach at UNLV, and he got Vance Vice down there with him, man. And he got Vance Vice and Chavez. James Chavez. Shout outs, man. Getting the old game back together. So hey, maybe Fuente, quarterback coach in a year or two, because Bobby Petrino's the OC. So
yeah, UNLV is like a school that should be good in the Mountain West, but they've always been terrible. But now that Vegas is like a football town, now that the Raiders are there and they play in the Raiders stadium,
hey,
it would be sweet if UNLV was good.
Couple NIL bags.
Yeah, UNLV? I feel like you'd have a great NIL market in Vegas, right? And let I mean, me there's say, there's like no other Power Five teams around there in the state of Nevada.
Let me just say, a little history lesson. I'm a little older than, you know, I'm a little older than some of our listeners. I'm a little older than you. When UNLV was good in basketball, bruh, like, it was crazy. Let me just say that. The NCAA had to step in on that. Like, you had motherfuckers, Larry Johnson, Stacey Augmon. When UNLV was popping in basketball, the Running Rebels, man, these motherfuckers got caught in a hot tub. Would have fixed them. In the hot tub with them, bruh. First of all, shouldn't no college athletes be in a hot tub with another man anyway? Like, bro, y'all play at UNLV. Where the hoes at? Like, let's get to the real. But yeah, bro, like when UNLV was popping, man, the NCAA had to step in. Like, hell no, bro. Absolutely not.
That might happen again if football gets good.
Yeah, man. Barry Odom, get that shit pop. Like, you NCAA had to kill that UNLV shit. Hell the fuck no, you're not. Back when they had Greg Anthony and them. Like, that shit was crazy. UNLV was popping back in the 90s. They had to put a stop to that shit. But what else we got going on in the world? You been keeping up with the Tory and Meg trial?
I have not, no.
Oh, okay. This week in Black News. I think they're about to reach a verdict soon, bro. Basically, I don't think they got enough evidence to say Tory Lanez shot anybody. I know people want to make this that the court system hates Black women, but you got to have evidence. Everybody's story is all shaky as hell. The evidence looking crazy. Tory Lanez, I think his prints came back inconclusive on the gun. Like, right now, the story is shaky as hell, and I think Tory Lanez is going to go free.
Run through the story real quick for me and for anybody else who's listening that doesn't know.
Okay, so rapper Meg Thee Stallion was allegedly shot in her foot or her feet by allegedly Tory Lanez after a altercation that got them kicked out of a Kylie Jenner party, where allegedly Tory Lanez was trying to hook up with Kylie Jenner. Meg found out about it, got salty about it. Meg's best friend, former best friend, Kelsey, was also there, and apparently she was also fucking Tory Lanez. So just a mess. Just a mess. And yeah, allegedly there was a fight between Kelsey and Meg. A gun was drawn. Meg ends up with bullet fragments in her feet. And they can't find out who pulled the trigger. Because they say that the gun, eyewitness say that the girl, that a girl did it, Kelsey. But everybody's story is so convoluted and fucked up that, yeah, man, I think Tory's getting off.
So nobody's getting charged. Tory's gonna get off.
I don't think nobody's getting charged.
And there's no physical evidence that Tory was the one that pulled the trigger.
Yes, there is no physical evidence. There's all they have is Meg saying that he did it, and all the evidence is saying it's kind of not the case. So.
Gotcha. So what are your thoughts? Who do you think did it?
I think the friend did it. I think the friend. I don't think the friend ever intended to shoot Meg. I think the gun was drawn. I think the gun went off a couple times, and I think some fragments hit Meg's feet, and then they left.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's probably the most likely. Right?
Yeah. Listen, to all women out here that be thinking that they can take on the big girl, no, you cannot. You're going to get your ass kicked every time. There's no need to resort to violence. Sometimes you just got to say, my bad, OG. You got to give it up sometime and just say, listen, that's a loss. I can't win this one.
Pick your battles.
You got to pick your battles sometime. You got to just pick your battles. Shout out to Wastail. Everybody's ratting. Hey. I got to keep that same energy, man. Look, man, snitching is snitching. Gunner, you snitch, my boy. You snitched. You got to listen. Anytime a person going to say, who I told on, when people answer your allegations with a question, they know they're guilty. So they might say, who I told on, or where my paper, or where the paperwork. Bro, you told, you read it. You were facing RICO charges. Next thing you know, you're out with time served. Hey, man, he was trying to come home, bro. Listen, it's Christmas time.
Oh, yeah. And the rest of them are probably going to go down now.
Shit, they taking plea deals, too. Like Thug going to be the only one that's going to get 175,000 years. Everybody else is going to be home chilling. Shit, they said one of the shooters took a plea deal. Like, you a shooter, how you get a plea? Oh, it's about to get nasty for Young Thug.
Oh, yeah.
To get nasty for your boy.
A lot of people, a lot of different things might blow up because of that.
Yeah, yeah. So, anything you got to say to the people before we sign off?
I'm just pumped. I don't know. This is the first time in basically my coherent life as a Virginia Tech fan that I've been, you know, because I mean, Fuente came in 16. I was a senior in high school. I didn't really follow sports that well. I followed it more as I got to college and obviously now. But this is like the first time that I've been like genuinely excited about the program that, you know, I can really recall where I knew what was going on. So I'm excited. I'm just pumped to see where this goes. I will be at the spring game because I moved.
Okay.
I'm closer to Virginia Tech now, so I'll be there. So I'm just excited to see everybody and hang out and go to some games next year, I guess, because we're going to be solid. I mean, we play a bunch of terrible teams, but it'll be fun to come down, maybe for Purdue. I don't know. Where's the Rutgers game at? Are we playing Rutgers at home or away?
I'm not sure.
Play Rutgers too.
I'm not sure.
Two Big Ten.
I would not go to North Jersey for a game. I know that much.
Yeah, I would not do that either. But I would come down to Virginia
Tech. Come down to VT, baby. if we play Purdue at home, then we definitely probably play Rutgers on the road.
Yeah, probably. I'm assuming.
So. I don't think the Big Ten would sit up here and be like, "Okay, we're going to just send guys down to VT." Like somebody got to come somewhere, so.
Yeah, so I'm just pumped. I think everybody's excited. Really like what they're doing with Mansoor Delane as well, being like poster boy, leading the recruiting. So that's pretty much it for me, man. I'm just excited for once, which is pretty fresh breath of air.
Yes, yes. With while there are still concerns and while there is still reason to be, you know, okay, we're not perfect. Like Jeff just said, we have a reason to be excited. There is a reason to have some excitement, and we're not done. We're not. I don't think Pry and his staff is done. I don't think the work is done. I think there's still more transfers. There's gonna be guys looking to transfer all the way up until fall camp next year. So, right. I will put a pin in this discussion. And because I still believe there's offensive and defensive linemen that we can get, and I still think that there's more tough conversations that we need to have to free up space. So that's it for Don V Fridays. We want to thank y'all for listening. We'll talk to y'all next time. Till then, God bless.
Look around; you can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.